That's my superpower right there. Thank you, God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being present among us. Thank you for coming and giving yourself to us. Wake us up to your presence in our lives and in the lives of those around us, that we may see you at work, and that we may be part of what you are doing for us and for the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. So, Samson is but one of the judges that we heard about this week as we made our way through this interesting chapter in the story. As we work through the story of God's people, the story of God, the story of us, the story of life, God continues to use surprising people to do his work. People like Samson. And Samson has great strength that God gives him, but Samson is a bit of a jerk. And it reminds me on days when I'm kind of a bit of a jerk, that God can still use me. It reminds me on days when I look at those around me and say, gosh, they're kind of a bit of a jerk, that God is still at work in them as well. That as we go through this life, it is so easy for us to get off track, thinking that the life that we are creating is what we are doing, where we are headed, and that we know and have the ability within ourselves to craft life the way we would want it. It's that very thought process that's at the heart of the cycle of life that is shown to us again and again and again in the book of Judges. God had brought them from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land and had given them a victory over all of the enemies that stood in their way, had placed them in a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that God had promised to their ancestors centuries before. God had done this, and they had seen God's hand at work. And as they settle in this land, God's people did what I do. They said, thanks, God, for getting me here. I got it. And they said, now that I'm here, now that you've brought me here, what's the next step for me? And they started to look around them and see, well, this is how others are living, and it seems to be working for them. Maybe I can do that as well. Now, I'm simplifying that. The way the scripture says that is that they forgot God and turned to worshiping the gods of the peoples around them. Now, when we say it that way, it starts to sound pretty serious. And we say, well, we don't want to do anything like that. And it is serious. And we don't want to do that. And we look at their story and we see what it does. As they turn to the worship of other gods, what happens? Then an oppressor comes. Some punishment comes. Some consequence is met. And their life, as much as they turn to those other gods to make it better still, it becomes not so good at all. Until they get to the point that they say, God, I need your help again. I won't do this the next time. And God hears their cry. And God raises up among them a judge, a champion, someone who speaks the voice of God for the people and says, here is what God is calling us to do. And sometimes what God is calling them to do sounds pretty darn ridiculous, doesn't it? Well, let's go into battle against the Midianites, and let's do that with only the people who don't drink from cupped hands. Only the ones that go to the river and put their whole face in the water and drink it. Those are the ones we're going to take. So from 32,000, we go down to 300. And then let's go into battle with clay jars filled with torches at night and no weapons. And we'll just throw them down and shout and blow trumpets. That's a good plan, isn't it? That's a ridiculous plan. But it works because God is in it. It doesn't work because it's a great plan. It works because God is in it. And we are told that God is in it. And Gideon is confident that God is in it because Gideon questions and wrestles and struggles with God until he is convinced that God has called him to do this and to speak out. We read today of Deborah. Now, in that time, no one would have picked Deborah to be the leader of God's people. Deborah had quite good wisdom. She was the one you went to when you had a problem you couldn't solve. She sat by the city gate and she spoke wisdom to those who came to her and said, "I don't know what to do with this. Deborah, you got any ideas?" And Deborah would solve their disputes. But God began to speak to Deborah and to put her in places where the powers of her day. You see, Deborah isn't really the power at work in the day. Barak and those around her, the men who think they have the power and strength and answers, say, "Well, we got to do something about this enemy, but we're not sure what to do. Who has some good wisdom?" And so they go to Deborah. What should we do? Can we go? Can we do this? Will God deliver Sisera into our hands? And Deborah says, "Yes." "Well, I will only do this if you go with me, Deborah." And Deborah says, "Well, I will go with you, but you need to know this isn't going to go for your glory. This will not lead to your glory. This will lead to God's glory, and God will deliver your enemy into the hands of a woman. Are you okay with that?" You see, it's not a likely story that God tells very often, is it? And yet we live in a time where again and again we keep thinking that God is going to do things in the likely way. In the way that everybody around us seems to say, "This is how it will work. This is how you get ahead. This is how you accomplish what you need to. This is how you make things work. This is how you get what you want." And so we, like them, turn away from God's way into our own. "I know how to handle this. Thank you, God, for getting me out of that last mess. Now I'm good." It's so hard to read this story because it repeats again and again and again. And we say, "What is wrong with you people? Won't you ever learn?" Until I look in the mirror and see that I repeat again and again. And I have to say, "What is wrong with me? Will I never learn? Will I never learn?" And when, how many times will it be before God finally says, "Enough is enough"? But God is a good parent to his people. And he hears our cry. A cry that comes after consequences, God, depending on how you want to look at it, either brings or allows. Those consequences are so important for us. God is in them. the jerks around me that I want removed. God is in them. And God speaks to me again and again as I come to that moment where I say what God longs to hear most. God, I need you. God, I need you. See, because we long so much to get to a place where we can say, I've got this. And God wants us to get to a place where we say, what's next, God? What's my next step? What are you asking of me? How do I fit in? It's a question that leads to every judge in this book. How do you use me? Even a jerk like Samson, who seems not to still even get it at the end, that as he's more upset about the loss of his own eyesight than he is about the plight of the people. And God uses him to bring about rescue for God's people. And God uses Deborah, and God uses Gideon. God uses Ehud. And God uses you. God uses us. And he calls us to not only look for where God is at work around us in the lives of others, flawed heroes we all are, but God also speaks to you to say you have a place in this story. You have a gift that God has called and given you. You have a word that you have heard. And we say, but I'm not good enough, or I'm not strong enough, or I don't have enough. And again, God says, God is your enough. How long will it be that we wander after other gods when the one that we need keeps reaching for us? How long will it be that we chase after our desires when the God we serve says, I will provide for your needs? How long will it be as we look at the world around us and the people God has placed us in relationship with and say, when will you get it right? And God says, I am already at work in them, as I am already at work in you. This is God's story. That's my story. It's our story. May we hear the word of God and be emboldened to be his flawed heroes in whatever place he sends you today. Amen.